Tapata kamalam, Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahakana Raghunatham Vitham, Tham Sajivam, Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Harichana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahakana Lalita, Sri Vishakam Vithamscha, He Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Kopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostate, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sukhe Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Ancha Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripasindubhya Evacha, Patithanam Bhavanibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Meeting in the very place according to Sri Valmiki Ramayana where Hanumanji and Ram and Lakshman first met. This is Pampa Sarovar. We were explaining yesterday. Could everyone hear? They cannot hear. Could everyone hear? Hare Krishna. Kabanda, after he took his celestial form, in his spirit of service to Lord Ram, he expressed that the best person to help you is someone who feels what you feel. This is the principle of compassion. The primary characteristic of a saintly person, one who is truly intoxicated with ecstatic love of God, who wishes to do the most essential service for the Lord within this world, they are paradukaduki. That means the sufferings of others are their own suffering, and the happiness of others is their happiness. The Bund explained that there is a monkey chief, Sugriva, whose brother had stolen away his wife and exiled him from his kingdom. And similarly, Lord Ram, Ravana had stolen away his wife. He was also exiled from his kingdom. So you will understand what Sugriva is feeling, and he will understand what you are feeling. And in that spirit, you will give your lives for each other. Many pages of Ramayana describes Kabanda's description of Pampa Sarovar. At that time, where we are sitting was one of the most beautiful places on all of Earth. Forests, flowers, and just behind us, Pampa Sarovar. It was at that time a very large lake, a very holy place. And on the banks of this lake, as we explained yesterday, Shabari was living. And even today, you may have already been there, if not after the lecture, just there is the caves of Shabari. If you want to experience what it's like being in a cave, it's quite a spacious 5-star cave. But long, long ago, she performed her tapasya there. After Shabari, where we're sitting, worshipped Ram after waiting for him in great anticipation for many, many years. With his blessings, by his grace, she attained the highest perfection. And Hanuman came down from the Rishya Mukha mountain in the guise of a Brahmin and introduced himself. When Ram heard the beautiful poetic speech of Hanuman, which was invested with such pure unalloyed devotion, such a selfless spirit to serve, Ram was very pleased. And it was here at Pampa Sarovar that the connection of the hearts of Hanuman and Ram was first truly manifested. Forever. Upon Hanuman seeing Ram, even though he really didn't know who he was, his heart overflooded with love, with surrender. What is that love and surrender? How does it manifest? With a willingness to serve. The purpose of service is to please the object of our service. Samsidhir Hari Tosha. Lord Hari steals the heart of one who puts the first priority of life in serving with the will to please. This is the essence of humility. And humility is the essence of the service attitude. When we take ourself out of the center of our lives, it's so easy. The whole world is oriented toward powers of the ego, ahankar, to put yourself in the center. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. Where we conceive of ourselves as our body, and that which is in relationship to the body is mine. But bhakti is to put Krishna or Sri Ram in the center. That means I orchestrate every aspect of my life in such a way that I could give happiness to my beloved Lord. Happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, life, death, they are all beautiful if they are endured for the purpose of seva, giving pleasure to Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, great Vaishnav saint, he prayed, "My dear Lord, the inconveniences and even apparent sufferings that I undergo to serve you and please you are the sources of the greatest happiness in my life. Because pleasure and pain and all of these dualities will come and go like the winter and summer seasons inevitably. Tams tatikshasva bharat. Sustainable happiness is not when it's dependent on those dualities. When it's dependent on our will to express our love through seva. And Krishna's pleased with our seva. And that's our happiness. Whether I'm living or dying, if I'm pleasing Krishna, that's my highest happiness. Because that's the very ananda or nature of the soul. Pampasarovar represents this to us. It is the place where Hanumanji first manifested the surrender of his heart to Lord Sri Ram. Lakshman told Hanuman here at Pampasarovar the story of Ram's life, his exile, and the abduction of Sita. And Hanuman explained briefly about Sugriva. And it was here that he put Ram and Lakshman on his two shoulders and jumped to the top of Rishishunga Mountain, Rishimukya Mountain. In our talk yesterday, we discussed up to the point where the monsoon rainy seasons had just ended. And several weeks passed and Ram was still waiting. But Sugriva became very infatuated and intoxicated by all the luxuries that he was deprived of for many years. And he was distracted. Can you imagine, even in the association of Hanuman, even when Ram is just where we were yesterday at Malyavanta, sitting in a cave, yearning, crying every moment, like millions of years, waiting for the rains to end so that they could start searching for Sita. But he was so distracted, he forgot all about it. And even if he remembered, there was just so many nice things all around him. that he really didn't remember. It was just something in the back of his mind. Sometimes in our sadhana, in our duties of seva, we become distracted. Even in the best association, we can be distracted if we are not very careful. But Hanuman reminded him, and Lakshman really reminded him. He was very angry. The arrangements were made where they would begin their search. And Ram gave Hanuman his own ring with his name on it. Because it was Sugriva who actually sent Hanuman in the southern direction with Angada, Jambavan, and others. Sugriva was saying to Hanumanji, I know you're the one who's going to find Sita. And Ram heard that. And he walked up to Hanuman and gave Hanuman his own personal ring. I have this confidence that by your determination to please me, that you will find Sita. Just to prove to her that you are my messenger, give her my ring. They began the search. Sugriva ordered 4 divisions of the Vanaras who went in the north, south, east, and west that they had to return within 1 month. And they had to find Sita. A month had passed. Those who went in the north and the west and the east, they had already returned. But Hanuman's group, headed by Angada, the son of Bali, they still had not returned. The others explained to Sugriva and then to Ram, we searched everything, everywhere, we could not find. They were so thorough. They were going through the towns, through the cities, through the villages. They were going in every cave, practically to every house. They were looking everywhere. So thorough. They had to find Ravana and bring back Sita. But they couldn't find. 6 weeks passed. Hanuman, Angada, they were still looking. They came to one place where there was no food and there was no water. They were literally on the verge of death. They became so weak. And just then, out from a cave, they saw some birds flying, and the birds had water on them. So they realized there's water in that cave. So they all went in a line. There was a lot of these monkey soldiers. They were holding each other's tails because it was really dark in this cave. They were walking and each one holding the person in front of their tail. They walked long distance in this cave. They heard screeching of bats and birds flying in and out, but they couldn't see anything. And suddenly, after a distance in this cave, they came upon what appeared like paradise. It was illuminated by golden trees. And on these trees there were such wonderful fruits. And there was lakes and waterfalls and fountains and so much food everywhere. And there was elegant jewels and gold and silver.
the monkeys were really astounded. Where are we? What is this? And suddenly, in the midst of incredible luxury, there was an ascetic woman.
Hare Krishna.
She was just wearing tree bark. She was very thin. She was meditating, performing tapasya. Hanuman approached her and asked, "Who are you? And where are we? What is this?" She introduced herself as Swayamprabha. And she explained the history of that place. Maya, he was the architect for the asuras, the demons. And he resided in that cave. He designed everything. Before he left, he gave residence to a celestial heavenly lady named Hema. And Swayamprabha explained that Hema was my best friend. And after she left, she gave charge of this place to me. She said, "Please drink as much water as you like and eat these fruits and herbs and they will completely satisfy you." So they were very happy. It was like, by the grace of Ram, they came to this place and they were completely rejuvenated. But then she told them that there is a certain rule here. Anyone who comes here, if they try to leave, they will die. Now, it was a nice place to stay. But Sita was captive somewhere in the world, they had no idea where, by Ravana. And Ram was in the cave, and Malayavanta here, and Kishkinda crying, "We have to get out and find her." The ascetic woman understood this. She told them, "Close your eyes. If you try leaving, you will die. But by my ascetic powers, I will chant a mantra and transfer you outside." So they closed their eyes, and she chanted some mantras, and by her mystic yogic powers, they found themselves, along with her, outside of the cave. And she blessed them. They continued their search everywhere. They had no clue where to go. And finally, after it was weeks past the month already ended, Angada, the son of Bali, because again they were very hungry and very thirsty, he said that we can't find her. We don't know where else to look. And Sugriva, he's going to kill me if I return without any news of Sita. And the others were expressing the same thing. So Angada said, "We have disappointed. We have failed in our mission. The time is up. We have no news." Angada said, "I'm going to stay here and fast till death." And except for Jambavan and Hanuman, who were saying, no, we should continue looking, all the others, following Angada, decided to fast till death because they couldn't bear coming back and seeing Ram and disappointing them. So they were fasting. They were actually dying. And as they were laying there, just laying in rows, from above, in a mountain, a gigantic bird, like a vulture, with no wings. He was really old. He came out. and he saw all these big monkeys laying down, fasting till death. And he spoke so that everyone could hear them. "I'm also very hungry. It seems like you're going to fast till death. After you die, I will eat you. I'm going to sing this massive bird." He was thinking that we failed. Ravana stole Sita. We don't know where he is. And even the great bird Jatayu, like us, he tried to protect Sita, but he failed. He was killed by Ravana. When this big bird heard this, he said, "Did you speak the name Jatayu? I happen to be Jatayu's elder brother." He asked Angada to tell the whole story. When he heard that Jatayu had died trying to protect Sita from Ravana, Angada told him the whole story. Should I tell it briefly?
No!
Just outside of Nasik or Panchavati, there is Sita Harana. It's a holy place even today. We should have Yatra there once again. Ram and Sita and Lakshmi were living there. And it was there that Ravana disguised himself as a sadhu, a holy man, because he knew that Sita was very fond of serving holy people. And Maricha, who was a mystic yogi, changed his form to the most incredible, beautiful deer. And Sita, knowing that their 14 years in exile only had a couple of years left, she said to Ram, actually only about a year was left. She said, "Wouldn't it be nice to bring that deer back to Ayodhya with us? We could make him so happy, and he'll make everybody so happy. Please bring that deer back." Ram told Lakshman, "You stay here with Sita, because the Dandakaranya forest was a very, very dangerous place." So he went out to catch the deer. And then the deer cried out in a loud voice, exactly with Ram's voice, "Lakshman, save me, help me." And Sita said, "Lakshman, go help." And Lakshman said, "No, that's a demon named Marichi. And he's taken the form of this deer. And he's pretending to be Ram just to allure me away so something could happen to you." And Sita, she was so much emotional. "My husband, my beloved Ram is in danger. Go, go." And he said, "I will not go." She said, "Is it that you came on this trip just waiting for this moment when you would be alone with me and Ram would be away so that you could enjoy me? I will not allow you to do this. I will take my life." Lakshman said, "How could I? You've never even looked above your feet. I would never do such a thing." She said, "Then go and find, help Ram." Lakshman, his heart broken, he went to find Ram. And it was at that time that Ravana stole Sita away by force. And as he was going ahead, because he was a mystic who could fly, he had a chariot that was going through the air. Jatayu, who was really old, was a beloved devotee of Ram. He heard Sita's voice crying out, "Jatayu, please tell Ram what's happened to me. But don't try to help yourself. You're too old. You will die. But when Jatayu saw the helpless condition of Sita, he couldn't just sit there in his old age and watch it happen. Yes, it was for sure he would die if he tried to help. But he would rather die than do nothing. He challenged Ravana to a battle. And he jumped up and he really fought. He destroyed Ravana's chariot. He started beating and beating and beating Ravana. Ravana was screaming in pain. And the fight went on and on for hours and hours. But ultimately, because of his age, he became extremely tired. And taking advantage of the situation, Ravana, with his sword, cut off his wings. And he fell to the ground, bleeding, unable to stand up. And Sita ran up to him and embraced Jatayu, crying, "Such a devotee you are. You were willing to die for me. I bless you. I pray for you." And then Ravana came and grabbed Sita and took her away. Sometime later, when Ram and Lakshman discovered that Sita was gone, they didn't know where she went or what happened. They were asking the trees, the sun, the moon, the animals, the insects, "Where is Sita?" And some deer, simple little lotus-eyed deers, they looked in the southeast direction. And Ravana and Ram understood that's where they went. And he followed that direction and ultimately found his beloved devotee Jatayu laying in a pool of his own blood. He also saw the broken chariot of Ravana. And Jatayu explained to Ram exactly what happened. It was Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, that has stolen Sita. And they have gone in this direction. Ram put the head of Jatayu in his lap and embraced him. He told Jatayu, "Because you have given your life for me, I promise you, on this very day, I will grant you the highest perfection of liberation, prema bhakti, ecstatic love for me. And on this day you will be my eternal servant in the spiritual world." Jatayu, looking up at Ram's beautiful lotus face, chanted his holy names, and Ram took his soul back to the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. Ram started to cry. He said, "The death of my father Dasarath and even the loss of Sita is not paining my heart as much as the loss of such a devotee as Jatayu from this world." The feelings of separation on the spiritual platform are something very intimate and sweet. "In order to serve my beloved Sita, he gave his life. How could I ever repay him? How could I ever forget him? How could I ever live without the association of such a devotee?" Angada told this story to this big bird. And then the big bird, he said, "My name is Sampati. I am the elder brother of Jatayu. I have not seen him for so many long years. This is the first news I have heard of him. He gave his life in the service of Ram. Sampati was crying for his brother. And then he told his own story, how when he was very young, he and his younger brother, Jatayu, were flying in the air. And they were so empowered. They could go anywhere they wanted. They were flying higher and higher into the skies, through the heavenly worlds, and they became very close to the sun. Jatayu, his little brother, he was exhausted. He was being burnt by the sun. Sampati, who wanted to protect his brothers, he flew over his head and shielded him with his wings. And in doing so, Sampati's wings were totally burnt and scorched, and they fell off. To protect his brother. And Sampati came falling down to where he was there. It was a forest near a hermitage of a great sage named Chandrama. And Sampati, from that day, he never saw Jatayu again, and he never heard anything about where he was or what happened. He went to the Rishi Chandrama and explained what happened. To save my brother, I have no wings. I can't do anything. And the sage told him that by my yogic powers, I could give your wings back, but I'm not going to do it, because that will deprive you of a service. Many years from now, the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, who will descend into this world as Ram, by my yogic powers and devotion, I know that Ram will come. And when he descends to this world, his wife Sita will be stolen, and his devotees, who will be in the form of monkeys, they will come here searching for Sita. And you will tell them where she is, because by your incredible vision, you'll be able to see where she is. When you serve the servants of Ram, you will attain the perfection of life. And Ram will be so pleased with you upon being the servant of his servants in this very, very special way. At that moment, your wings will grow back. He told the story. Sampati, he said, even though I can't fly, I've been waiting here for you for 8,000 years. And I can't fly. And I can't go anywhere. My son was bringing me food for a while, but now even he's gone. So I've just been living in this cave, helplessly, just waiting for the servants of Ram to come so that I can perfect my life in devotion. He said, but my eyes are still fully powerful. And I am seeing there's an ocean, the Southern Ocean. And across 800 miles away, I see an island called Sri Lanka. In the center of this island, there is a mountain named Trikuta. And on the peak of this mountain is the palace of Ravana. It's a huge palace with huge grounds. and I see there's a garden of Ashok trees. And there under a tree is Sita, crying in separation. She's emaciated thin. She practically refuses to eat or drink anything, constantly meditating and chanting the holy names of Sri Ram. She said that by the mercy of Lord Ram, one could easily cross over the vast, limitless ocean of birth and death. So by the mercy of your beloved Lord Ram, you will certainly be able to cross over this little 800-mile ocean. I bless you to have all success. And with a grateful and loving heart, when he gave that information, magnificent wings sprouted from his body. He became youthful again, and he smiled, and he resounded with a loud voice another benediction upon all the monkeys, and then he flew into the air. So now they knew exactly where Sita was. But how to cross an 800-mile ocean? Angada, who was the leader, he said, I could jump across the ocean 800 miles, but I don't think I have the power to get back. And Jambavan said, you're our leader. You shouldn't be the one who does it. Somebody else should do it. And Angada said, can anyone else get the message of Ram to Sita? And each of the powerful monkeys was expressing the extent of their abilities. One said, I could jump 10 yojanas, that's about 80 miles, but that's as far as I could go. Someone else said, I could jump 30 yojanas. Another said, I could jump 50 yojanas. But nobody could jump 800 miles and then back. That's 1,600 miles. So there was a dilemma. Jambavan, he said, when I was young, I could do it. But now I'm very old too. He looked over at Hanuman, who was very humble, just sitting in meditation and prayer. How to get Ram's message to Sita? At that time, Jambavan said to Hanuman, he said, you can easily do this. And then he reminded Hanuman of his life and his childhood in front of all the others. He explained how Hanuman was born and how when he was just a little baby, he jumped to the sun. And he actually already made it practically to the sun planet with the desire to eat the sun. And then Indra stopped him. And because of that thunderbolt of Indra touching on his chin, he went unconscious. And Vayu stopped the air of the universe. And all the various devas gave all benedictions to little Hanuman. But the sages gave another benediction, that he would forget all the blessings he has and all of his powers unless he's reminded. He said, all these years, Hanuman, no one has reminded you. Hanuman could have single-handedly helped Sugriva and vanquished Bali, but he didn't remember his strength. Jambavan said, Hanuman, these are the different benedictions that the various devas had bestowed upon you. And when Hanuman heard this, he understood with total confidence that there's nothing that he cannot do without the grace of Ram. And he roared. He said, I will cross the ocean. And all of the great Vanaras headed by Angada were cheering and cheering. Hanumanji climbed to the top of Mount Mahendra. And then he expanded himself to a very, very large size. And Jambavan blessed him. Now, go and give the message of Ram to Sita. With folded palms, Hanumanji offered a prayer to his beloved Lord Ram. As we spoke yesterday, Ram got the order to do all the incredible things he did from Sugriva and Jambavan. Even the most intimate, celebrated, immortal servant of Ram, in his heart, was always in the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. He shouted out, he roared, Jai Shri Ram!
Jai Shri Ram!
Hanuman still lives here. So let us say it in such a way that he is very happy with us.
Jai Shri Ram!
10 million times louder,
please.
Again, please. Hearing Hanumanji roar, all the monkeys raise their arms. With his palms folded in a prayerful, heartfelt mood of Sharanagati, total surrender, Hanuman jumped. He expanded himself to a large size. Being the son of Vayu and the son of Shiva, what could he not do? The force and the power of his leap, the whole mountain. It's a giant mountain. It started going into the ground. And the force of his foot on the mountain put so much pressure in the mountain that all the trees and the animals and the insects and the snakes underground, they all started coming out. What's happening? What's happening? And Hanuman leaped through the air. And the velocity of the wind that was behind him because of the force of his body is trees were being uprooted from the mountain following behind him. Completely immersed in this Dasya Bhav, in his love and the spirit of a servant of Sri Ram, he was soaring through the sky. Even the demigods were astounded. They wanted to glorify Hanuman. They also wanted to prepare him, because going to Sri Lanka was going to be an incredible, inconceivable challenge. Here is Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Indrajit, Prahasta, the most powerful Rakshasa demons by the millions, all living together. And everything in the whole Sri Lanka was directed toward satisfying Ravana's desires. And he only had one desire, to enjoy Sita. And Hanuman was all alone going there. So the devas approached, well, actually first, the Lord of the Ocean. He wanted to do some service for Hanuman. Das, das, anudas. Because he was already flying for so many miles. He was practically halfway across the ocean, 400 miles. He needed some rest. Because where do you rest when you're going over the ocean? There was a mountain. The Mainaka Mountain. This Mainaka Mountain was underneath the ocean. It was in the water. Actually, it's an incredible thing. There are many huge mountains in the ocean. Some of the mountains in the oceans are actually larger than the mountains on the land. But we just can't see them. So Varunadev appealed to Menaka to rise out of the ocean to be a resting place for Hanuman. Suddenly, this gigantic mountain with a golden peak emerged from the ocean. And Menaka personified himself as like a human being. And he stood before Hanuman, way, way up in the sky, and said, I have come to provide you a resting place. And Hanuman was really grateful, but he was so enthusiastic. Sita! Sita is in such a deplorable situation, and my beloved Ram is still in Kishkindha Kshetra, in a cave, waiting for some news. I can't waste a moment. He said, I accept your service, but I cannot waste any time. So to honor the offering, with his hand he touched the mountain and kept flying. This is an important principle. Time is so precious. Srila Prabhupada quotes Chanakya Pandit that even one moment lost cannot be bought back by all the wealth in the world. Therefore, time is the most precious thing we have. And this concept's even catching on a material level. These business managers, they say time is money. Yes. Because how you spend your time is how you're going to make your money or lose your money, whatever it is. But atato brahma jigyasa manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye. The Gita explains the human life is so rare. Out of thousands of people, hardly one even endeavors for life's perfection. And out of those few that endeavor, it's very difficult to know the Lord. Because we cannot know Krishna by our own efforts. We can only know Krishna by Krishna's grace, by Radha's grace, which comes through her devotees. Through that grace, Krishna reveals himself to us. Hanumanji, we cannot imitate him. Go ahead and try. How many of you today climbed up to the top of Anjuna Parvat? So, you know what it's like to climb the mountain. Hanumanji, when he was born up there, when he was an infant child, he could jump from the top to the bottom within seconds. So, cannot imitate great souls. But Mahajano Yenikathasapanta, but they teach us by their example the most essential truths, and if, unless we follow the footsteps of the examples, there's no other way to spiritual enlightenment. They teach us how to please the Lord. Hanuman was the perfection of dasya, the devotional principle of rendering service, selfless service. And he wanted to teach us through this pastime how precious every moment is. The six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, they hardly slept 1 to 1.5 hours a day. And sometimes they just didn't have time to even do that, because they were so enthusiastic to serve. They didn't want to waste a moment. They were constantly chanting Krishna's names, writing books about Krishna, discussing Krishna about one another, excavating holy places, discovering the places of Krishna's leelas, doing seva for their deities. With every moment, we're getting closer to death. Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a beautiful verse. With every rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to inevitable death. But those who utilize these precious moments and understand how valuable they are, to engage those moments in remembering Krishna and serving Krishna, with every rising and setting of the sun, such a person is one day closer to eternal life. And the easiest way that Hanuman taught us, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broadcast to the world, the easiest way to remember the Lord is to chant his holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Das Vigra. The Supreme Personality of God, it has many, many names, and in each of these names, he is personally present with all of his potencies, his beauty, and his grace. The devas wanted to prepare Hanuman and show the world who is this Hanumanji. So they approached the mother of the Nagas. Her name? Suras. She came from the ocean. And she appeared like a big Rakshasa. And she said to Hanuman, she came out of the ocean into the sky and placed herself right in front of Hanuman as he was flying. And she said, "You cannot pass by me. I have received a benediction from Lord Brahma that no one can come by me without me eating them. So today you are my food, and there's nothing you could do and she opened her mouth to swallow Hanuman. Hanuman expanded his body to be really big. And Suras expanded her body to be even bigger, her mouth. He became a mile high. And Suras's mouth became 2 miles wide. And it kept getting bigger and bigger no matter what she did. Soon, her mouth was practically covering the sky. And Hanuman, he instantly reduced his size to be the tip of a thumb. And he went into Suras's mouth and walked around for a while. And then he came out. And then he stood before her and said, "The blessing of Brahma has been fulfilled. You ate me. But I'm a servant of Ram, and I'm doing the service of Ram, so please bless me to continue." And Suras became a beautiful woman then. And she said, "Hanumanji, you are very intelligent. I've come on behalf of the demigods just to inspire you. Now I give you all blessings. Go and perform your service for Sita." Hanuman was traveling through the sky with great determination. And suddenly, in the middle of the sky, he couldn't move. There was a Rakshasi. She was really a Rakshasi. Evil, envious. Let's go back to Suras. A lesson there. She was making herself bigger, bigger, bigger. Hanuman was making himself bigger, bigger, bigger. Ultimately, he made himself very small. You see, when we humble ourselves, we can overcome all obstacles. Because Maya is like that Suras. She's all devouring. Daivihesu gunamayi mama maya duratiya. We cannot overcome the powers of Maya. The power of lust, envy, anger, greed, illusion are beyond any human capacity. They're beyond the capacity of a conditioned jiva. But Krishna tells in Gita that he's the controller of material energy. If we take shelter of him, we can cross beyond everything. In fact, the Srimad Bhagavatam explains that trying to resist the powers of Maya is like an ordinary little person trying to swim across a shoreless ocean. Now, there's many Olympic swimmers and everything, but have you heard of anyone who has swam across the Pacific Ocean? No one's even tried. It's impossible. And these are the greatest athletes who have medals. The ocean of material existence is infinitely greater than the Pacific Ocean, with infinitely more dangers. But when we take shelter of the grace of God, of Krishna, the Bhagavatam says, by Krishna's grace, that ocean reduces to the amount of water contained in a hoof print of a small calf. And even a small child could just jump over it. Trinadapi sunichena turor ivasehishna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Like We're supposed to take shelter of Krishna. What has come there? Huh? A small lizard. I think someone back there was falling asleep. And a lizard came to wake you up. Draupadi. When Dushasana was trying to tear her sari off from her, she looked to her husbands, the Pandavas, and Bhima, who was also a son of Vayu. See, Hanuman didn't have a wife, but Bhima had a wife. Even Bhima, he wanted to help, but Yudhisthira said, no, we cannot. She turned to Dhritarashtra, she turned to everyone. She tried with her own powers. Material existence is like Dushasana. It's so much greater than ourselves. And ultimately Draupadi completely humbled herself and put her arms in the air in total humility and helpless surrender. She cried out the holy name. Krishna came to help her. So in our path of Krishna consciousness or bhakti, humility is the essence. And like Hanuman, he was supremely humble, but his humility didn't make him afraid or lazy. He was fearless. He was determined. That's the symptom of true humility. It doesn't disempower us. It empowers us with the infinite grace of God. So he made himself very small and overcame Suras, who in this sense represents the ego that wants to make itself bigger and bigger and bigger. But now he's flying by and he can't move. And he looks down and he sees this Rakshasi named Simika. She had the mystic power where she could actually control people by holding on to their shadows. So the sun was, it was daytime. And Hanumanji was flying and his shadow was on the ocean and she grabbed his shadow. And he couldn't move. And after she captured him, she opened her mouth to eat him. And Hanumanji, he again became very small and jumped in her mouth and dove right down her throat. And while he was inside, he expanded himself. And with his nails, he ripped open her heart. He went right down to her heart
And he went to her kidneys and her lungs and all her other organs. She was dead.
She opened her mouth and Hanuman flew out and then she fell into the sea.
Samika represents this egoistic tendency to find fault with others.
She grabbed on to Hanuman's shadow, the dark side.
Similarly, even great personalities, people want to find faults with them. What to speak of people who actually have faults?
The symptom of a true devotee is they have no tendency to find faults with others.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he declared, I will personally liberate with the highest perfection anyone who just does two things. Always chant Krishna's names and do not criticize others. But this tendency to find faults with others is simply the symptom of ahankar, our false ego. When we're actually enjoying and finding great happiness in Krishna's infinite glories, we don't have any tendency to find fault with others. We want to share those glories and see the good in everyone, because everyone's part of Krishna. And if we do find fault, it's like a doctor. A doctor sees a disease with compassion to cure a person. The ego wants to find fault just to show that I'm better, to beat somebody down, to put myself up. That's completely conflicting to the principle of devotion. When a devotee sees a fault in others, it's with compassion to lift that person up or to protect others from that condition. But Samika was very eager to grab and exploit the shadow. So, following in the footsteps of Hanuman, we have to overcome this fault-finding tendency. And he continued his journey. Ultimately, he came to Sri Lanka. He saw what a magnificent place. It was like a jeweled island surrounded by the ocean on all sides. And he landed and decided he would wait until the night time to enter Sri Lanka. He was looking. He saw it was protected by huge walls. And Hanuman saw on the walls there were millions of gigantic Rakshasa soldiers with the most deadly weapons, constantly running about, looking at every inch to make sure things were safe. And he saw between the walls, there was these enormous moats, or water. And in some of the water, you had to swim across it. They were literally filled, swarming, not with just little lizards, but with the most venomous snakes and lizards. And there were gigantic man-eating crocodiles and all sorts of man-eating fish. Nobody could possibly cross it and live. So Hanuman waited till the night time when the sun was setting. And he decided to make himself very small. He was still Hanuman.
Did all of you at Anjana Parvat see that little Hanuman deity sitting on the lap of Anjana, his mother? He became like that. He took the size like a little kitty cat. And he approached. He approached the wall, the outer wall entrance in the northern side of Sri Lanka. And there was a gigantic Rakshasi named Lankini. She was the protectress of Sri Lanka. And she saw Hanuman. He was very small. And she started blasting him. I have a benediction of Brahma. Nobody can cross me. And Hanuman was trying to be really respectful and nice to her. He explained what his mission was. And she was so rude and cruel and harsh. She took her hand and slapped Hanuman and said, "On this day I am going to kill you." And Hanuman gently punched her. Very gently, because if he would have gave any seriousness to it, she would have been finished. And she fell on the ground. And then she got up. And she was really happy. She said, "I've been waiting for this day. Brahma told me that someday a monkey's going to hit you. And you're going to fall on the ground. And on that day, you should know that Sri Lanka is going to be destroyed." And she said to Hanumanji, "I offer you my obeisances and to your beloved Lord Ram. Now I bless you. Go and perform your mission in Sri Lanka." And little Hanuman, he jumped over the walls. He entered Sri Lanka. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. There was no place on earth. Even in the heavens, it's very rare to see anything so elegant and opulent as what Ravana had created. He had plundered the riches of the greatest kings on earth, and even Indra and the devas of the higher planets, and brought the choicest of their wealth to Sri Lanka. The palaces, the walls, they were primarily made of pure solid gold and decorated with limitless quantities of ivory, silver, emeralds, diamonds, rubies, lapis, coral, crystal. Beautiful parks with flowering, fragrant trees. And he was seeing these monstrous rakshasas everywhere. And it was nighttime. Some of them were wrestling with each other. There was a certain kind of rakshasa who are Brahmin rakshasas. And they were in temples. Constantly, 24 hours a day, they were chanting, reciting Vedic mantras, and performing yajnas, meditating, doing pujas and mudras, and tantras, and yantras, and mantras. All to bring blessings to Ravana. To protect him and give him power and happiness. That was the focus of everyone. Hanuman was looking for Sita. He was saying he ultimately came to Ravana's personal palace. Ravana's palace was 8 miles long and 4 miles wide. And it was the most luxurious place on earth. The Ramayana goes in great detail of what kind of luxuries were in the palace. But I'm not going to go into so many details. Because I think you're hungry. This world is so nice. If someone comes to you with the most precious diamond in the world, but you're hungry, will that diamond give you any happiness? You can't eat diamonds. You can sell it and get money, but if you're in the middle of Kishkindakshetra, you just want some prasad. So I understand. Hanuman was seeing such elegance to live like this. And he entered into Ravana's palace, and most beautiful females. Ravana had kidnapped tens and thousands of the daughters of demigods, celestial apsaras, the daughters of great, great rishis and sages. And ultimately they all surrendered to him to give him pleasure. Everywhere around he saw gigantic rakshasas totally intoxicated, enjoying with these apsaras. And in Ravana's court, some were playing beautiful music. And he came to this incredible bed made out of crystal. And in the center of it was an ivory platform. And in that was laying Ravana. And around it were thousands of beautiful ladies. And the finest foods were spread out everywhere. And so many intoxicating beverages. Everyone was drunk. But it wasn't the kind of drunk like they do in Mumbai. That stuff isn't worth anything. This is heavenly intoxicants. It really gives pleasure and power. The other stuff is just the mode of ignorance, terrible stuff. This is also the mode of ignorance, but it really gives... Ravana was a connoisseur of the finest intoxicants. He stole it from the heavenly worlds. So they were just laying there and Ravana was sleeping. At that time, he only had one head and two arms, because he can change his form according to his will. And Hanuman looked at Ravana and was thinking, he's so strong, and he's so beautiful, he's so charismatic. If he was only pious, a devotee, he could be the Lord of the entire heavenly and earthly worlds, and God would give him all powers and all blessings. But somehow or other, he was envious. And all the incredible blessings and boons he had received, they all were utilized for the wrong purpose. Hanuman was not attracted by the riches. He was not attracted by the beauty of the most elegant, enchanting women in the universe. He was just looking for Sita. Beside Ravana on another bed was Mandodari, his wife, his principal queen. She was far more beautiful than anyone else. And at first Hanuman was thinking, maybe this is Sita. But because she was wearing beautiful jewels and fine clothes, and she was sleeping with a smile on her face, Hanuman understood Sita would never do this in the separation of Ram. He looked palace after palace everywhere, hour after hour. He could not find Sita. And he was thinking in his heart, how could I go back to Ram? I can't. I can't face him and tell him I couldn't find her. And then he saw an incredible garden. Giant garden. It was the Ashokvan. And in that garden, he went inside and he saw, he actually climbed a tall tree to look down, and he saw a big crowd of Rakshashis. Now Ravana was so strategic in his planning. He had the most beautiful ladies in the universe with him to enjoy. But he also empowered certain Rakshashis who were the most ugly things that you could imagine. They were so fearful. They had all kinds of animal heads and claws and sharp teeth, and there's great descriptions of what these Rakshashis looked like. They were crowded around Sita, praising Ravana. And Hanuman first saw Sita. She was very thin. She had not bathed or practically eaten anything for so many months. She was laying on the ground, surrounded by these people harassing her, crying out Ram's holy names. Hanuman understood, this is Sita. He was so deeply moved by her chastity, her purity, and her complete absorption in remembering Ram in separation. The sun rose, and Hanuman heard from a little distant place musicians singing beautiful poetic songs to wake up Ravana. He woke up, he was all disheveled from the night before. He took his bath, he put on his perfumes, he combed his hair, he put on all nice clothes, and immediately went to Sita. He was thinking of Sita 24 hours a day. And there was a whole entourage of beautiful ladies and guards and soldiers following him as he marched into the Ashokvan. And Hanuman was still in his little kitty cat form of a monkey size. And he was in a tree, hiding behind the leaves, watching. Ravana was so majestic. He came to Sita and spoke such poetic, flattering, romantic words to her. He was praising her beauty. He was praising her limbs and glorifying her character. I'm willing to live and I'm willing to die for you. I will make you the principal queen of the entire world. You will live and all my other queens will all be your maid servants. I will focus my whole heart for you only. You have captivated my mind. I've given my heart to you. My love, accept me as your husband and be happy forever. Sita would not even look at him. She just looked at the ground and condemned him. my heart belongs to Ram. Ram is like a lion, and you are like a miserable jackal. Beg forgiveness from Ram. Return me to Ram, and Ram will give you all blessings and empower you. Otherwise, you will be destroyed. She wouldn't even look at him. And Ravana was speaking so many sweet, romantic words to her, but ultimately she said, "You are just like a coward." Ravana said, "If you do not surrender to me within the next month, I vow that I will have my cooks chop you to pieces and cook you, and I will eat you for my breakfast." What is this Ram? He's not worthy of you. You are the most elegant princess in all of creation. Ram is such a coward. He was exiled into the forest and he didn't even fight for his rights. And now he's wandering around like a hermit in the forest. What can he give you? Sita put a piece of grass between herself and Ravana and would not look at him. Ravana was so angry, he ordered the Rakshasis, "By any means, convince her to surrender to me." And then he roared in great anger, being insulted by Sita, and marched away. The Rakshasis were really harassing her, and she was just laying on the ground crying out the holy names of Ram. Hanuman was so joyful, he actually found Sita. But he was also in terrible agony to see the pitiable condition of Sita. Being exploited and harassed in separation in Ram. He was going to go down and start fighting those Rakshasis. But he was thinking, if I do, then there will be a great conflict here, and I won't be able to get my message to Sita. So he just quietly was hiding behind a tree in a tiny form watching. And as these Rakshasis, these evil people, were torturing emotionally Sita, Trijata, this one incredibly devoted lady, she came out and she told all these others, "I had a dream. In my dream, I saw Ram victorious with Sita. They were blazing with enlightenment like fire, wearing jewels and fine robes. And I saw Ravana dead with blood all around him, being pulled by a wagon of donkeys." Hare Krishna. So this sobered those ladies, and they went to tell Ravana about this dream. And they all kind of went to sleep. Because it was morning, they would stay up all night and then they would go to sleep in a day. So Sita was sitting all alone. And Hanumanji, he was very concerned that if he came before Sita, she might think that he was disguising himself, but he was actually Ravana. So from a secret place, in a very sweet voice, he sang the glories of Lord Ram. He began to describe every limb of the beautiful transcendental body of Sri Ram. He told the story of his birth and his childhood pastimes and his wonderful pastimes with Kaushalya and Dasarath. And he talked about going through the forest with Vishwamitra Muni and first meeting Sita and in Mithila marrying Sita and coming back to Ayodhya with her and then being exiled into the forest. He was telling the beautiful stories of living in the forest of Chitrakoot with Sita and going into Dandakaranya and Nasik and how Ravana was, or Ram, Lord Sri Ram was now in the Malyavanta hill in a cave in Kishkinda, yearning and longing to find Sita, and how he, Hanuman, had jumped over the entire ocean as Ram's messenger just to give confidence and hope to Sita. He was telling all these stories. He revived the heart of Sita. For the first time in almost a year, she was hearing the glories of her Ram. Otherwise, all she heard was blasphemy, criticism, and condemnation. And she looked around, who's speaking these things? Who's speaking? And she saw in a tree behind some bushes a tiny little monkey. And he was smiling. And she looked at him, and then he jumped down and he came in front of her. Immediately, Sita thought, you are Ravana. You've taken this form just to trick me. And Hanuman, he spoke with such love. Sita understood that by the countenance of your face and the sweetness of the love of your words, I could understand that you truly are a servant of Ram. Hanumanji told the whole story, and then from his cloth, he presented to Sita the ring inscribed with the name of Ram and told from that mountain cave in Kishkinda, Lord Sri Ram in great love removed this ring from his finger and presented it to me to give to you. When Sita held the ring in her hand, she pressed it to her head and pressed it to her heart. She cried and cried and cried in the ecstasy. She was feeling Ram's presence in such a special way in that ring. Hanuman then told Sita a story. He said, Ram shared this with me. He told me that no one else in all the world knows the story except you and him. When you were returning from Mithila to Ayodhya after your marriage, you were sitting next to each other. And Lord Ram touched your feet with his feet. And Ram's feet are soft and elegant like lotus flowers. But when he touched your foot turned red. Because your lotus feet are so much more soft and delicate than even his. Do you remember that? And then when you were going through the Dandakaranya forest, barefoot, walking over stones and shrubs and thorns, Ram was reminding you of that incident, of how he was appreciating your sacrifice for him. That you were willing to walk barefoot for 14 years in the forest with him, despite having such soft and sensitive, delicate feet. Sita wept. Hanuman said, "Get on my shoulders right now. I will take you back to Ram." And Sita said, "No, I cannot do that." Hanuman said, "Why? I will bring you back to Ram on this very day." She said, "You're Hanuman. How can I get on you? You're so small." Because he was still in a little kitty cat's eyes. She said, "I can't even fit on you." And then Hanuman expanded himself into a mountainous size. He says, "Get on my back. I will send you back to Ram. I will personally carry you." She said, "You're the son of Vayu. As you're flying over the ocean, I'm not going to be able to hold on to you. The wind is going to be so great, I'll fall into the ocean. And if you start flying away, all the Rakshasas and Ravan and everybody will challenge you to a fight, and you'll have to fight them all. And how can you do that when I'm on your back, on your shoulder? And besides that, my chastity to Ram, although I was forcibly grabbed by Ravana, I will not touch another man except Ram. And most importantly, for Ram's glory, it is only befitting that he personally rescues me." And Hanuman smiled and said, "Yes." Then Sita took some beautiful jewels that she was hiding from Ravana. One particular jewel that was given to her by her father on the day she married Ram and put on her head. And she gave that jewel to Hanuman to give to Ram. And then she told him a story that no one in the world knew except the two of them. Would you like to hear the story? When they were in Chitrakoot together, Ram and Sita, they were so happy. They were sitting on a rock on the banks of the Mandakini Ganga River. That rock is still there today. When we go on a yatra to Chitrakoot, we will visit that rock. In Chitrakoot, it was so peaceful. Sita and Ram lived together in the simplicity of a forest, just eating roots and herbs collected by Lakshman, living in a simple little cottage made out of simple wood and leaves that Lakshman made. And she would collect flowers and bring it to the yogis and the sages and rishis for their puja. It was like Vrindavan in Ram Lila. Sita expressed to Ram that the simplicity and the beauty of our life here in Chitrakoot is so much more enjoyable than life in Ayodhya, the big city, capital, kingdom. One day they were sitting on this rock together, and a crow landed while on the rock. Meanwhile, Lord Ramchandra was sleeping on the lap of Sita. And the crow, with his beak and his claws, started scratching Sita. And Sita was trying to shoo him away, but she didn't want to wake up Ram. And the crow kept scratching her and scratching her until she was bleeding. And the crow just wouldn't stop harassing her. And finally, Ram woke up and he saw blood on Sita. And he was very angry and he saw this crow. Ram knew who it was. It was Indra's son, Jayanta, who took the form of a crow. So Ram, he took a single piece of grass and chanted a mantra and threw it at the crow. And that piece of grass became an astra, a weapon. And it soared toward the crow, and the crow flew away. Because he was the son of Indra in a crow form. Something like Durvas Muni with Ambarish. He was flying to all corners of the world and all these different places. And no matter where he was, this piece of grass was always right behind him. So finally, he came back to that rock on the Mandakini Ganga in Chitrakoot. And the crow begged forgiveness from Ram and Sita. And Sita smiled at the crow and said, Ram, please forgive him. And Ram said, I forgive him. I said, Jaya, I forgive you. But still, when I throw a weapon, it has to do something. So the weapon touched his eye, and he became blind in one eye. And that was Prasad. Sita told that story to Hanuman and said, please tell Ram. And she presented the jewel to him. Then she blessed Hanumanji and gave him one more message for Ramchandra. She said, please know 24 hours a day I don't even sleep. I'm reciting your holy names. Within the core of my heart, I am meditating upon your beautiful form and your wonderful loving pastimes, day and night. But if you do not come within 1 month, it will be too late. Ravana will kill me. Please come soon. She blessed Hanumanji. And Hanumanji, since he did his service, he fulfilled everything and more than Ram asked him to do. He wanted to do something extra. He understood that this Ashokvan was the favorite place of Ravana in the whole of Sri Lanka. It was incredible. There were fountains and the most priceless trees from all over the universe were planted there, and flowers 24 hours a day, 12 months a year were blooming. It was just amazing. Hanuman, he destroyed the entire garden and all the beautiful buildings in it. And the Rakshashis who were guarding it, they ran it. I'm not going to be able to do that.
Is it in there? Thank you. Thank you.